very honored to be here. I think we have someone in common named Pira, and maybe some of you might know him. So I'm sort of bad with technology. Oh, okay. All right. I think I got it turned on here. So my name is Jeff, and I come to you from the land of Daly City, which is very close to San Francisco. And you live in this really beautiful area called the Tri-Valley. And I totally apologize, but what's the name of your city here? It's called what? Castro Valley. Yeah, yeah. I have a different Castro in San Francisco, which is totally different from Castro Valley. But we could talk about that in another sermon. So I come all the way from San Francisco. I was born and raised in San Francisco. I have a little bit of Arizona in me. I was in Arizona for my kindergarten age. And so I ate a lot of Mexican food in Arizona. It was really hot. I think I saw a spider like that big. But, you know, when I was younger, that looked that big. Maybe when I'm bigger, it actually was this big. So I just kind of remember those things. I ate a lot of tamales. I ate a lot of ice cream sandwiches. I saw my first snow in Arizona. And then I come back to San Francisco, and I see my first snow in San Francisco. So it was really cool. Have you been up to the snow already? Anybody are skiers here? Yeah, yeah, not bad. Or do you just like to throw snow? You know, like most of us just like to throw it or throw it around. But I lived in San Francisco. I used to be a fifth grade teacher at a Christian academy. Who loved their fifth grade year? Like, yeah, fifth grade was, God bless you. So fifth grade was great. I taught fifth grade for 23 years of my life. Yeah, 23 years. I thought I was going to do that forever, right? I mean, it's like the best job ever, right? I mean, fifth grade, come on. You go on field trips. You get your summers off and everything. And I did that for a long time. And I got the word of God to say, you need to go somewhere else. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. You could stay at your job for the rest of your life, right? But sometimes God will move you, and you'll go to someplace else. So from there, I got a chance to be a youth pastor in San Francisco. I did that for about two and a half years, a youth pastor. And then I quit my job just a year and a half ago from Cornerstone Academy, and then I became a youth director at a church in San Mateo, Sturgis Presbyterian. And so I did that for over a year and a half. And within that time, some exciting things happened. My dad had a heart attack, and he was 89 years old, and he collapsed at a swimming pool. And at 89 years old, this guy gets a quadruple bypass surgery. And he is, you know, still living and well, and he's, you know, driving. That's the scariest part. He's driving. So please pray for him. I've been in the car with him as he's driving. It's like, if you think roller coasters are scary, just be in the passenger seat with my dad driving. That's crazy. Okay, so that's nuts. So I just hopefully pray for me. I will graduate from seminary either this year or next year, and I will have a master's in ministry leadership, and I'm going to be taking a pastorship in San Mateo. I'll be pastoring an English ministry in San Mateo right across. For those of you that are going off to college, College of San Mateo, CSM, it's right across. We're known as Lighthouse Bible Fellowship. And so that's what we're going to do. So that's where God has called me next. But I'm really, again, very honored to be here. And it's almost like home. I went to a church that had the same exact pews. Oh my gosh, did you steal it from us or something like that? Or what's going on with that? And it's very interesting that us churches, we kind of do the same things, right? We open up with song and praise to Jesus, and then we have that scariest time in the world called "Let's all get up and meet each other." For some of us, that is like the scariest thing, to get up and go, I got to get up and shake somebody else's hand. I have no idea where that hand has been, and I got to go and meet people. So, and then all of a sudden, here's the craziest thing, right? We get up, and we shake each other's hands, and then we go back and sit down exactly where we were. That's always a little strange for me. You know, we should actually do it this way. Let's all get up and shake hands, and let's go ahead and sit next to somebody brand new. Try that. That'll freak you out, right? So, who is this person next to me? I have no idea. But that's what the church is, right? The church is a bunch of mixed up people, and we welcome you, right? We welcome you. And for those of you that have been free, who feels like they've been here forever? No, you kind of grew up in the church or whatever, right? Yeah. How many people feel brand new? Anybody feel brand new still? Like, oh, when I walk in, it's still the very first day. You know, for those of you that might have a boyfriend, girlfriend, oh, it's just like the first day. It's just like the first day. Or it's like, how long we've been going out? 3 months. Dang, that's a long time. Right? I mean, for some of us, right? So, I hope it's still fresh, that when you come to church, it's fresh. You know, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Right? Oh, it's on the screen. Ephesians haikus. Okay, so I guess I should start my sermon. Thank you for reading that scripture. I'm going to put on my reading glasses now because I just turned 50 years old. And, yeah, I've been wearing these for 10. So here we go. So what's my topic? Anybody see the topic in the bulletin? What's the topic? What does it take? Right? What does it take? What does it take? So let me ask you something. If for me or for you, if you wanted to lose weight, what does it take? Exercise. What else? Don't eat. Yeah, there you go. If you want to lose weight, you know, exercise, don't eat. Okay, how about this one? What does it take to get good grades? Study. Just don't sleep. Don't sleep, don't eat, study. Has anyone found out a way to get good grades and not study? Yeah, what is that called? Cheating. What? Oh, winging it. Yes, winging it. Winging it is good. Can you believe? How many people are sick of people that could just go, you know, I kind of read it over and I got a B? Anybody know people like that? I read it over and I got a B. Or I put the book on top of my head at night and then when I woke up, I knew everything. Something like that. Osmosis, right? It just kind of soaked it in. It's like, or this one. The person that just goes, you know, I just listened to the teacher and I got a B. I was like, what? And for some of us, we struggle, right? We study like crazy and it's like, I just got a C. So how long did you spend on your paper? 45 minutes. And what'd you get? I got a B or an A. So it's amazing that we're all kind of different. But there's certain things that you know what it takes, right? You know what it takes. What does it take to be a friend? Well, we're all silent now. Like, actually, I don't have any. What was that? Be nice, right? You would want your friend to be nice. Would you like your friend to be listening? Have trust, right? How many people have done this? You know, if you're really my friend, I just want you to listen. Have you felt that way? Have you thought that way? Don't you kind of sort of hate it when your friend actually has to say everything? Like you tell them a problem and they're trying to fix you right away? Oh, let me tell you what to do. No, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I just want you to listen. That's what it takes to be a friend, right? That's what it takes. What it takes to be a good son and daughter? A lot, right? A lot. As a matter of fact, not too much. Actually, parents will just do this. If you will just listen to me, everything will be okay, right? If you will just do what I say, everything will be okay. I will give you an allowance. Something like that, right? Something like that. Which I'm praying right now because my three kids don't do that anyway. So there we go. But the title of my sermon today is What Does It Take? And what she read, it was Olivia, right? Olivia, thank you. What she read is about what does it take to do that? What does it take to be what she just read? Right? What does it take for her to just, what she just read? So I'm going to read my version, and I apologize because I thought it would be the same version, and I was mixed. So I have ESV, called English Standard Version. That probably was NIV. Have you heard that other little biblical joke? Some of you have the ESV, some of you have the NIV, and some of you have the N-O-N-E. None. You got nothing. You got, okay. Some of you, over my head, totally over my head. All right, let's read this. Let's read my version for a second here, real quick. It's not too much different. It just has one, maybe one key word, and that's about it. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Do you have your own Bibles, by the way? You are so blessed. If you have your own Bibles, keep it open to Ephesians chapter 4 right now. And it starts like this. It goes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the word of the Lord. So here's my battle plan, right? We're gonna pray in a moment, but here's my battle plan. I'm going to bring out some points from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a little history lesson, and I know some of you hate history, like, oh, it's so boring. Okay, one little history lesson. I'm going to give you two movie examples. Who likes movies? Good. I'll give you two movie examples, and then I think we're good. And then you get to go to your room, you get to go outside and have snacks and whatnot, right? And maybe you'll sit somewhere else differently in the pew next time, okay? So let's pray. Father God, I want to ask for your help, your absolute help in bringing out what you have in these scriptures today. I ask for your blessing on this congregation, this very young and mature congregation, and that whatever we have going through in our lives, that we could focus on the true things that you have for us. So I ask for your Holy Spirit to speak, your Holy Spirit to change anything you want in our hearts. And I want you, Jesus, to be front and center this morning and every day. So I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I have a big word here in my version that says, I therefore, and when you hear, I don't know if you've been taught this, but when you hear the word therefore, you got to think about, well, what happened before that? If somebody says to you, or when you read something, therefore, I want you to do this. Therefore, I want you to do this. And you just have to ask yourself, like, well, what was before the therefore? For example, if your parents said this, right? You know, I work 24 hours a day. I don't have lunch. I don't have dinner. I don't have breakfast. I work 24 hours a day for you. Therefore, if I just want you to change the toilet paper roll, please do it. So that's the emphasis, right? Why do you want to change the toilet paper roll? It's because your parents said, maybe, I worked so hard. I suffered so greatly. Could you not change the toilet paper roll? Therefore, right? So whenever you hear therefore, you got to go, what was the stuff before that? What was the stuff before therefore? So in my version, it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk. So we better know, well, what was before that? Why would I want to walk? Why would I want to walk in a manner worthy to the calling? Why would I want to do that with all humility and gentleness? Why would I want to walk in a manner worthy? Now, how many of you go to school? And how many of you go to work, right? Okay. Does not your school, does not your work expect you to be a certain way? Yes or no? Isn't there something in school called the school of conduct? Or the list of conduct, right? You're supposed to wear clothing, right? Doesn't your school expect you to wear clothing when you go to school? Yes? They don't. If you show up naked to school, I think the principal's going to go, we need to have a conversation. You can't do that. You can't come to school. And if you try to go to work naked, it'd be like, you can't do that. We have a certain conduct here. There's a certain way the school wants you to be. There's a certain way the work wants you to be. You can't do that. There's a certain conduct. But what makes you do that? What makes you put on your clothing? What makes you behave and act a certain way? Well, let's check this out. Everybody say the word, indicatives. Everybody say indicatives. Imperatives. Now, anybody know the difference between indicatives and imperatives? Who's taking the SATs and you should know the word indicatives and imperatives, right? Oh, come on, man. Who scored 1,500 on SATs? 1,500? Yeah. And you were the scripture reader, so you should, right? All right? So my son just took the SATs. He scored 1,360. Home hoa. Is that good? Not bad? Is that bad? It's okay. And you know I said 1,360, huh? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, it's okay. Okay.
So do you want to take it again?
I don't know. No.
So, you know, 1,360, right? But there was a friend of his. He got 1,500. Yeah, I was going to do the Chinese thing, right? Oh, 1,500, huh? He's pretty good. You want to take it again? Okay. You want to be like him? 1,360. You know what I scored? Not even going to tell you, man, because it's just too embarrassing. Okay, so we have to know what happens before Ephesians chapter 4. So in light of schooling, I've tried to make a haiku of chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 of Ephesians. A haiku, meaning in a nutshell, in a haiku of what those chapters were about. Everybody know what a haiku is? Okay, what's a haiku? What's a poem like? Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. Okay, so I've tried to micro-size those chapters into three haikus. Okay, so haiku for Ephesians chapter 1. I hope this works, please. Yes, okay. So in this one, I'm going to take it off now. So in this one is he chose us in him. He adopted us through Christ, sons and daughters blessed. That's basically Ephesians chapter 1. And that's who you are if you are a believer in Jesus, right? If you're a believer in Jesus, this is who you are. He chose us in him. He adopted us through Christ. Sons and daughters blessed. You are sons and daughters of the King, right? You're sons and daughters of the King. Is that special for you, right? Is anyone sitting here really proud that your mommy and daddy is your mommy and daddy? Or you're not, you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah, they're my mom and dad.
But when you think that you are the sons and daughters of Jesus, it's like, say what? I'm a son and daughter of the King who made everything? That's kind of cool. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you used to be dead. Precious blood made you alive. Cornerstone is Christ. Right? You used to be dead. Precious blood made you alive. Cornerstone is Christ. That's you. That's what happened to you if you're a believer in Jesus. Right? And by the way, so far, between this one and this one, there was nothing that you did. You just had to receive it so far. Right? This is who you are. This is what God did. Chapter 3, mystery made known, the gospel revealed to us, deep, wide his love is. The mystery made known to you. The gospel revealed to us, deep, wide his love is. I went Yoda on the last one.
Deep, wide his love is.
Right? You guys sing that song VBS? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing. And you do those hammer. It's really cool. The kids love that. This is not anything that you have to do. This is all what you have in Christ. If you ever think about that, right? You ever think about that? You know, I mean, sometimes as adults, we do something like we look at our bank accounts, and then we're either happy with our bank account, like, this is what I have, yes. Or we look at it and we come depressed, this is what I have, no. But you think about all this you have through Christ, it's amazing. Deep and wide. I mean, this was a mystery to a lot of us in the beginning of our lives, and then we came to know Jesus. It's like, oh my gosh, this is not a mystery anymore. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if you sit here today in a pew and you're bored, we got a problem. If you sit in this pew today in this church that you feel like you've grown up in a long time and you're like bored, we have a problem. There's that movie about the spaceship getting into trouble when they were going to the moon. And that famous line, Houston, we have a problem. It's a famous line, man. And if you sit here in this pew today and you're bored, you go, Jesus, we have a problem. Because there's only one person that can make you not bored. It's not going to be your Sunday school teacher. It's not going to be me. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, Jesus, changing your heart. And that's what I need every day. Okay, so let's check out this one right here. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Everybody say called. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know it, if you're a believer in this place, it's because God has called you by name. By name. He has called you to become a part of his family. Now, think about this. If an Army, Navy, Marine, Air Force person walked into your work or your school and said, I would like volunteers to join the military. How many of you would go, ding, I'm there, man. I love America. Okay, that's a little bit different from this, right? What if the military came into your work and to your school and actually literally pointed at you and said, I want you. I choose you. You're my Pokemon. You either would be like this. Me? I could barely get through PE. No, he just goes, I want you. You've been called, right? God calls you into his family. And so that's why you would want to live in a manner worthy of the calling. And by the way, what's going to kind of envelop all of that? It says right here, you're eager. Everybody say eager. You're eager to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Hey, y'all get along in this place? If you do, play, just say, yeah, we get along. God forbid churches go through hell. But you know what? We do. And it's messy, right? It does get messy. And I've seen it. I've seen the messiness of churches, all right? And it's hard. So let me teach you a history lesson about how messy it could be, right? Let me teach you this one. I hope it works. Okay. Okay, we're going to try to say this. This is not a haiku, all right? But let's just try to read this out loud together. Ready? One, two, three. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Now, how many people have heard of this phrase before? Only one person, and it's the pastor of this church. Wow, that is amazing. Okay. Yeah, this is a pretty cool phrase. This is a pretty cool phrase to kind of remember how to live the church, the church life. Okay, this was written by a guy named Rupertus Meldinius. Isn't that a cool name? Rupertus Meldinius. He was a Lutheran German theologian. He's a scholar. And can you even guess what year did he write this in? Think about that name. Rupertus Meldinius, a Lutheran German theologian. And what year did he write it in? Come on, give me a guess, guys. Just give me a guess. Anybody want to say 1900 or something like that? 1900? 18? 1600s? You're right, 1600s right there. It was actually written in 1627. And he wrote this Christian, a little Christian booklet, right? And it was based on the subject of unity. Unity, right? And being one in the church. And that was written during this time called the 30 Years' War. Anybody ever heard of that? The 30 Years' War. And how long did it last? 30 years, right? The 30 Years' War, and that was raised between 1618 to 1648 in Europe. Okay? 1618 to 1648 in Europe, 30 years. And let me just describe to you exactly what that kind of looked like. It was a crazy time of a Game of Thrones war. Who watches that show, Game of Thrones? Thank God. Okay, good. You guys are not bad. You're pretty holy. Okay. Thank God you guys didn't watch it. I'm kind of shocked. I thought one person. I don't watch it, but I've heard about it. It was a crazy time of war between kingdoms and faiths, kingdoms and churches, between Catholics and Protestants. I hope you know the difference. Are you Protestant in here or Catholic? You're Protestants, right? Now, there is this general Catholic word of the universal church, but that's a whole different thing, okay? So there was a battle between kingdoms, Catholics, and Protestants, and from 1618 to 1635, it was a combination of faith and politics just battling each other out, killing each other off. And then from 1635 to 1648, it became more political than religious. You know, which kingdom is going to be more powerful? And then it finally came to the end at 1648 when it came to peace. So in the middle of this, Meldinius wrote, interestingly enough, this phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. He wrote this phrase in the middle of the 30 Years' War, and nobody listened in that 30 Years' War until it finally ended. So what does that mean? All right. In order for the church to be one, in order for the church to really be together, we have to really decide what's the most important things about the church that Jesus started. So let's go through some questions. Ready? Is Jesus the Lord and Savior of this place? Yes or no? All right. That's pretty good. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in your heart today? Yes. We should definitely. Is that important? Yes. Do you believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Yes. So guess what those things are? Essentials. Do you believe that Jesus rose again on the third day? Yes. Do you believe that he's coming back one day? Yes. You just sang about that. Coming of that day. Right? You sang that. So there are certain beliefs that you have that are essentials. Who likes Chinese food? Okay. You take away the MSG. Is it still Chinese food? No, it's not. Just kidding. But you got to know that for certain dishes, you take away a certain ingredient, that essential ingredient, it's not the same anymore. It's not the same anymore. Essential. It is absolutely essential. And so we believe those things about Jesus. We believe that he rose again. We believe that he's coming back. You mess with those things, you don't got unity. So in the essentials, let's be together on that. Now there's a second phrase, the non-essentials, okay? So, there it is. Okay, I see a drum set here. I didn't hear the drums being played, but I see a drum set. And for some churches, that's a sin. You can't have a drum set on stage and be playing boom, 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 boom. You can't do that. Only piano. Only organ. Some churches, it's nothing. In some churches, guess what? Worship is this. You come in, you sit down, and you be silent for a whole hour. Who would love to go to a church like that? I'm going to church. Hour's up, right? Okay, y'all go. Amen. Some people love that. And some people don't. Some people couldn't live with that. Right? There's probably maybe some competitions of schools maybe. And we say like, well, which school is better than which school, right? And so there's differences. And so in the non-essentials, it's liberty. You're free. Hey, you don't want to play drums? I want to play drums. We're cool. You don't want to play guitar? We just want to have piano? We're cool. We're free to do that. You're free to worship in the way that you want to worship. It's okay. We don't have to fight about it. It's all good. You want the lights down? Fine. You want the lights up? That's fine. In the non-essentials, freedom, liberty. You're free. Free to do it. Go ahead. And then we have this last one. In all things, charity. Oh, boy. Now, this is the big one. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some things that we just will not agree on. It's going to be crazy. But should I hate you for that? Should I hate you? Should I say things like, oh, you shouldn't even exist or something like that? No, how about this one? You know, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with your choices. I don't agree with your lifestyle. But I'm going to love you in Jesus' name. I'm going to love you in Jesus' name. In all things, I'm going to love you. I will love you. I have no right to hate you. I will love you. In all things, charity, love. I'm going to love you. Okay. And so that's what his famous. So I hope we live that. I hope we live those three phrases there. So that's a history lesson. And then now we're going to go to kind of one of my favorite parts besides the Word of God is the movie example. So here we go. I hope this works. Please. Ah, yes. This is one of my favorite movies called City Slickers. Some of you that are like old like me, you'll know this movie. Famous guy, Billy Crystal. We have Jack Palance, Bruno Kirby. There's another guy, Daniel Stern, that's not in this poster for some reason. And it was a great movie. I love this movie just for one thing. The gospel is in this movie. Didn't mention Jesus particularly, but it mentions something about the gospel. And it was about this guy and the other other friend. And they were having their midlife crisis. Everybody know what that is, a midlife crisis? Children, you have not hit that yet. You cannot have one because you don't have any money. And so a midlife crisis is like you get to a certain age, like around 40, 50, and you go, what have I done with my life? What have I done, right? It's like, oh, you know, and they're trying to do things to get themselves excited again. And so they decided to bring, hey, let's be cowboys and bring cows across the state. Let's be cowboys and bring cows across. Yeah, that'll be fun. That's a great midlife crisis thing to do. So let me go to the next slide here. So they meet up with this really, really scary cowboy by Jack Palance, right? And they're having this conversation, and I wrote down the conversation from the movie, so I hope this works, okay? And so he's giving an answer. Now, do you see what he's holding up? You can't see it right now, but he's holding up a finger, not the middle finger, but he's holding up a finger, the number one. And so here we go. Let's see what the conversation is. I hope this works. Let's see. So he says to him, because all these guys are looking for the secret of life, like, well, what's the point of life? What's life about? And so he asks this question, do you know what the secret of life is? Right? Some of you children, you might want to go to God or go to your parents and go, Mom, Dad, what's the point of life? What's the point of school? You know, why do I got to be here? Right? And so he literally asked Billy Crystal, the guy, do you know what the secret of life is? And he says, one thing, just one thing. You stick to that and the rest don't mean squat. Now, he used a different. We're just going to say squat, okay? It's just one thing. You stick to that, and the rest don't mean anything, okay? Just one thing. Now, of course, the classic question after that for Billy Crystal would be, but what is that one thing? Right? What is that one thing? Now, students or adults, if someone asks, if you ask a question, what's the answer? what is that answer? And then the person says, well, is that only one answer? Well, what is it? Okay, so he says, well, what is that one thing? And he says, but that's what you have to find out. And of course, his response is, huh? You've just given me the secret of life, and it's like, now I got to figure it out? I got to figure it out? Are you kidding me? Who wants to have all the answers? Now, how many of you have seen the movie Aladdin, right? Who would love to get that magic lamp and just rub that thing, and the genie pops out, and you have three wishes for the rest of your life? You better choose wisely, right? I mean, what would you ask? Like, oh, what is the meaning of life? Right? And stuff like that. So what would it be? So here we go. I believe that Paul gives us, what is those ones? He actually gives us seven ones. What's the point? What's the point of our lives? So here we go. Let's try this out. From the scripture, starting at verse 4, he says, you have one body, the body of Christ, the church, and Jesus is the head. That one thing, the body of Christ. Do you enjoy the body of Christ here as a church? Do you enjoy this? Do you like, you know what? If I had a choice from going to see a movie or coming here as a body of Christ, I want the body of Christ. I want that one body, right? He says, there is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the believer. Do you cherish that? Do you know that it is the Holy Spirit that moves in you, that causes you to be this thing called different? I think everybody wants to be different. No, let me change that. I think everybody either wants to be different or you want to be something else. Like, why can't I be like them? We're fighting that. We're fighting that all the time. Either I want to be like them or I just want to be me. Well, how about something better? Jesus says, I will put the Holy Spirit in you, and now you're mine. You're my child. You're the sons and daughters of the King. He's giving you one hope. The hope of Jesus' return. What is your hope? For some of us, it's like, well, I hope I get married one day. I hope I get a good job. I hope I'm able to move out of my house one day. What is your hope? I hope to have enough money so I can get the next video game. I hope, well, for adults, I hope I make enough money to buy a home. Which of course, in California, you just might want to say goodbye to that. And you move to Montana. What is your hope? Well, for Paul, he reminds us the hope is Jesus. The hope is Jesus. He has one Lord. We serve one King, King Jesus. Everybody say, King Jesus. You know, I think for me anyway, I really never thought of Jesus as the King a lot. Right? And I think if you look back at our old movies, when a king comes by, the king is rolling by, and everybody has to do what? Boom. Like, there's that feeling, oh, my gosh, here comes the king. And how do we act like that now? We see a cute boy, girls go, or for guys, it's like they see a cute girl. And we have that kind of, oh, the boss is coming. Hi, boss. How you doing? Walks right by. Right. We kind of have that attitude, right? But when we really worship someone, our whole life is changed, right? When we really love someone, our whole life is changed, right? We have one faith in Christ alone who saves. Do you believe that? That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. That is one tough statement that Jesus alone makes. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You know how hard that is when you share that with somebody else and go, hey, man, there's only one way to go to heaven. That's through Jesus. People will have this allergic reaction to that. It's like, what? What are you talking about? And you have to defend that. In a sense, you have to defend that. Right? You have one baptism. How many people baptize? I got baptized over 20 years ago, okay? One baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit who makes you one with him. That's special. And lastly, he is one God and Father of all. Have you sang that song, Good, Good Father? You're a good father. How many people saw that on Dancing with the Stars? One of the dancers danced with that song. It was beautiful. Of course, I think they were dancing it to the sense of a human father. But that song points to a heavenly father who is so good. One father over all. we all have one Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy... Yeah, you know that one, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy... Fill in the blank, please. Name. You worship his name, right? You worship him. All right. I apologize. I have to ask, how much time do I have? I have until... to wrap up in 10 minutes. Okay. Not bad. Not too bad. So this is, it might be on the screen, I'm not sure. And here's the ultimate one, I hope. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 29. I apologize, it's in blue. But it's Mark chapter 12, 29 to 31. And some Pharisees asked Jesus, so what is the greatest commandment, right? You know, you all know the greatest commandments in there. And he says this in 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Look at your neighbor and say, and ask yourself, do I love him? Look at your neighbor. Do I love you? Do I love you? Do I love you? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Right? There's always that thing, like, on an airline, right? When the airbags come down, what do they always tell you to do? Put the air mask on you first, then put it on your neighbor. But what if yours is broken? What do you do then? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let's see. I would probably put it on myself. Therefore, I will put that one, the working one, on the person next to me. Because I love that person as I would love myself. That's kind of cool. But it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to love the Lord our God with everything. It's not easy to love our neighbor with everything. So what is that going to take, right? What is that going to take? So let's how about this one? We need to know who the hero is, right? So when you read your Bibles, who's the hero? Who's the hero when you read your Bibles? David? No, wait, who's the hero? Daniel. David, Moses. I heard an answer on this side, actually. Jesus. When you read your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, it has to be Jesus. You had to focus on him. And so I want to challenge you with this one. What does it take? What does it take to really be unified? What does it take to love one another? What does it take to love Jesus? What does it take to really work in a manner of the calling that God has given you, right? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Captain America. Who likes the Avengers, right? Who's seen it, okay? This is one of my favorite movies, the Avengers. And hopefully this works. There's a scene that I want you to focus on here, okay? So let me set it up. It's from the first one, the first Avengers movie. The aliens are attacking New York, right? Only certain cities get attacked. New York gets attacked. Japan gets attacked. China never really gets attacked for some reason. I don't know why. So in this one, the Avengers, the aliens are coming to New York, and they're, like, thrashing everybody. And then there's this scene where... Captain America lands on a taxi and shouts out to the police, this is what you got to do. La, 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 do this, right? And then the New York cops, right, the tough New York cops go, hey, yo, why do I got to listen to you for? Some of you have done that, right? Some children have done that. Like, mommy, daddy says something, why do I got to listen to you for? Right? So let's check out this scene for a second. I hope this comes out. I hope the sound works. Here we go. Love that scene. Love that scene. It was one thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about the sermon here. So what happened? Captain America gave orders. New York cops, whatever. Who are you? Until what happened? Captain America proved himself. He proved himself that he was worthy to be trusted. Captain America proved himself that he was worthy to say, look at what I'm doing for you. I'm thrashing these aliens. I'm saving your life. Now, you're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to me. And so as a believer, how in the world are we supposed to walk in a way that Jesus wants us to walk? How are we supposed to love him? How are we supposed to, like, love one another? We look at the cross. We look at the cross. We look at the cross, and we go, I can never see the cross in the same way ever again. I swear to you, as 50 years old now, whenever I see a T section or something like that, I think, I would say 90% of the time, I think of Jesus. I see a cross. I see a telephone pole, a cross. You know what's really cool? When you see a tow truck, and they got that little metal bar that's shaped like a cross. You look at that and go, oh my gosh, I totally need to be towed. I totally need to be towed, Jesus. I mean, I'm messed up. I'm a wreck. Please, just take me. Take me. That begins with the letter T. I focus my eyes on him, and that changes me. The Holy Spirit changes me because that cross is not just a piece of wood anymore. It reminds me of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is going to do. I can never be the same. And I hope today you can remember the day that you met Jesus and the day that you believed, and you're never the same. Because now it's not about you measuring up. It's not about you proving yourself. It's just really, Jesus, this is it. This is who I am. That's all I got. And Jesus would say, that's cool. I'll take it from here. I love you. Just keep your eyes on me. Focus your eyes on me. One last haiku, I think. Please. One last haiku. Fix your eyes on Christ. On the cross, he died for me. This is what it takes. It's your focus. Is what do I have my eyes on? Who do I have my eyes on? My spiritual eyes. Everybody say spiritual eyes. It's your spiritual eyes of what you have your hopes on that's going to keep you unified together. I hope nobody in here says, I'm out of here. I hope you say, I'm in here because of Jesus. I'm unified in my church because of Jesus. And there's one line I just want to walk away with because I got like 4 minutes left, right? He says this. This is kind of interesting what Paul does here. Paul, in the beginning of chapter 4, says this, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord. A prisoner of the Lord. So here's the thing. The guy writing this letter to you, to the church of Ephesus, because this is the church that he started, right? He didn't just start the church and then retire and then go ahead and do whatever he wants. Paul lives it all the way to his death. In prison, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you, which means he's kind of like the human level of Captain America, where he's like, I'm in it. I'm in it, man. I'm living it. I'm not just telling you to do it. I'm in it. How many of you guys hate the hypocrites? Man, you say you do this, but you don't. Paul will be the first one to tell you, man, that he's a sinner. Paul will be the first one to tell you that he was the chief of sinners. But he's a prisoner for the Lord. Jesus is the absolute hero. But he gives us these tiny heroes like Paul to go, dang, man, if Paul would do that, I think this is worth it. Because of the ultimate hero, Jesus, who did it on the cross, this is so worth it. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, you could do that. You could walk this life. And I want you to be the most attractive people to attract Jesus. Attract people to Jesus. Some of you in this room are very good looking. Actually, I better take that back. All of you are very good looking. And you will attract people. Like, hey, I like your eyes. But wouldn't it be wonderful if someone were to go, you know what, there's something really different about you. I have no idea. I can't put my finger on it. But could you tell me something about yourself? Because you live it in such a way where you're just different, man. And then you could say, well, you know, I don't think it's my deodorant, but it might be Jesus. Can I tell you about him? He's my Savior. He's my King. And I fix my eyes on Him. I don't live a perfect life, but Jesus did, and I get to be a part of His family. And He loves me. And you know what? He loves you. So if you hear this message today and it moves you, I praise God for that. If you would hear this message that says, I urge you to live a life, live it. And if you back away from that message, I pray for Jesus that He gives you more time. I pray for Jesus that He gives you more time so that the Holy Spirit would work in you and you would change. But be blessed. Be blessed and be unified because of what Jesus has done. He saves sinners. And that's who we are. And He saves us and He loves us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You.